Join us for the Criterion Institute podcast as Joy Anderson, a global thought leader in business and social change, leads us through a series of discussions, interviews, frameworks, rants, and reframes that will help you better understand how to use finance as a tool for transformative systems change.
Hello, I am Joy Anderson, and this is the Criterion Institute podcast. I'm recording this in the middle of 16 days of activism, and it has been remarkable to see more and more and more webinars and papers and commitments coming out that are looking at the connections between finance and gender-based violence. And as we sit with the work that we've been doing for the last 8 years to figure out how to bring together the work being done by so many organizations to eradicate gender-based violence and the systems of finance that have so much power in the world to create change. As we reflect on that work, we're identifying a new area where we need to focus. We see the momentum building, and at this moment of time where so much feels daunting, there are some windows that are staying wide open for us to be able to mobilize capital to address gender-based violence. And as we've been working on those plans of what will it take to unlock this power, to unlock these resources, we keep coming back to the idea of infrastructure. And so, reflecting a bit on how do we move from insight to infrastructure. Enjoy. Whenever I get lost trying to think about what will really create long-term systems change, and I will argue, I get lost quite a few days in any given month. I return to an article that I probably read 20 years ago, and I think many people reference this article. It's an article called Leverage Points by Donella Meadows, and it looks at where are the places where we can intervene in a system. And she has a whole different set of leverage points. And there's, I think in the final list, there are 12 of them. She puts them in an order of increasing effectiveness. And towards the top of that is the power to add, change, evolve, or self-organize a system structure. And I bring this up because I think one of the pieces that has been emerging from our reflections on how to use finance to address gender-based violence, and even more, not just how can we use finance, but how do we shape, whether it's gender-led investing, innovative finance, or finance more broadly, so that the world does this, not just that we can do it, because of course that's the systems change piece, right? It's all well and good for us to point to three or four actors who can use finance to address gender-based violence in one supply chain or one sector or to influence a set of public companies. It's all well and good to do it in an individual basis, but in the end, what we need is a structure. Where we've had success over the last 8 years is that we have identified a set of asset owners, people who make decisions, who can name the goals of their investment and as a result can use their influence to shape how investments happen. Like in the end, systems change often happens because those in power demand a different system. And so that's been a large part of our work, right? Organizing a set of investors who can ask for managers to be able to use finance, ask for managers to use their funds, to use their products, to use the vehicles that they're building out to be able to address gender-based violence. So maybe that is building an investment thesis for a region in which you're looking at how to prioritize safer sectors. And so that you're looking at agriculture not just as a sector that has opportunities, but as the risks inherent in that. Or you're looking at a supply chain, and as you're providing trade finance, you're looking at the risks that are inherent in that supply chain, where sexual favors are built in to the currency of the supply chain. And so pricing in the risk of a currency being sexual favors makes sense at an individual level. So we worked with investors to create sort of the will to act, to be able to ask for a set of things. And then on the other hand, working with gender-based violence organizations to be able to translate what they know, their programs, their data, their knowledge about what works to transform gender-based violence, to transform social norms, to eradicate gender-based violence, to not just mitigate the results of it, but prevent it as well. And working with hundreds of gender-based violence experts to really understand. And I think what we were trying to do was to get these two groups fundamentally to collide, right? How can we get those with the power to ask for something different in their investments, to draw from and engage with those working to end gender-based violence, and to see these connections come together? Much of systems change is about that collision, right? To have different pieces coming together. And at that intersection, we've developed hundreds of insights. What's possible? Because to be able to get both groups to come to the table, it's been, you know, kind of like those shell games that they play on street corners, where is it under this shell? Is it under that shell? No, it's under this shell. No, it's under that shell. We can keep talking until we demonstrate what it looks like. And we've done a lot of talking. And and we've turned a lot of that talking into long, short reports. Okay, mostly long. We've built tools. We've equipped people to do this. We've taught people how to do it. And we will continue to do all of those things. I don't think we did the wrong thing. We needed to get the will to act for a set of people who have capital to ask for something different. We then needed to build the research base, the evidence base that says you can use finance to address gender-based violence. And these are the people who know how to end gender-based violence. And so let's bring that together. And then both of those groups needed to be able to talk to each other. So from that came insights. It came conversations about what is possible. Because I do believe the core of the work that we've accomplished in the 8 years is that, yeah, 8 years ago, there were people who were using finance, you know, to address gender-based violence. There were people who were safeguarding. There were practices within the IFC or the other places where this got incorporated. People did look at sexual harassment policies within companies. It wasn't that nothing was happening, but a set of practices. But there were a small set of practices, and that needed to grow and expand and have a broader set of application. So that's the design work that we've been doing. And without those insights, the conversation wasn't possible, right? We were debating one practice. Without a broader set of insights, we couldn't truly spark the imagination that says it is possible to do this. Or we would have had a way that one actor in one sector with one type of capital trying to address one type of gender-based violence could approach it. And we needed the breadth. We needed the diversity, because without that, we couldn't build momentum. Now we're at an inflection point where continued design, continued imagination, thinking about what's possible remains important. But we need to move from insight to infrastructure. We need to build the infrastructure that makes this possible. And I think I thought for a long time that that wasn't going to be Criterion's role, right? That if we got this moving long enough, that if if people were colliding with each other and had ideas, that they would build infrastructure. And I do believe that that has happened, and other people have built infrastructure. I believe it is happening. But I think it's important at this moment, it's not just about the collision of those ideas. It's about an infrastructure that can hold those ideas and enable them to be implemented. And again, this is an infrastructure at a systems level, not just in an individual organization. We had a first experiment with this in our partnership with Aquilo, where UNICEF supported us to work with Aquilo to build a GBV risk score, it was an investment methodology that allowed you to look at risk by sectors and by geography, pull a set of data from Aquilo's data systems, and be able to calculate what is the risk that gender-based violence presents to your investments. It was a really good piece of infrastructure. It was the beginning of a data set that allowed people to tap into the data that we saw in a more structured way. And so we need to keep building in that direction. A few concrete ideas of what this infrastructure could look like. First, in all of our looking at public equities over the years, it's gotten pretty clear that a prime indicator for a risk around gender-based violence in publicly traded companies is retention data. Now, the good news is there are some pieces of existing infrastructure, research bases and others that allow us to look at this, but what is the index that allows you to pull out retention data as an indicator? And this particularly works for quantitative investors, right? Investors who are looking at a broad universe of companies and trying to find some differentiating factors. But what would that index look like? Second, within the overall risk universe, we've looked at political risk in depth. And this is an area at this moment in time, being able to look at what informs political stability is critical, where investors are asking the question day in and day out, what are the signs that lead to greater political stability or move away from it? And so gender-based violence is a leading indicator of political instability. Women, peace, and security research has shown definitively these correlations. And we've built them out in predictive models tied to different types of investments, particularly investors who have a sensitivity to political risk within their investments. And again, that's not everybody, but what would it look like to really build out a live model for investors that integrates gender-based violence data into the core methodologies that assess political risk? That's the second idea. The third idea is a predictive model. Now, we played with this a while ago when we built out the risk score with Aquilo. It was good. And some of the team from Aquilo continued with Criterion and really thought about how do we predict the risk? How do we look at what the changes are into the future? How do we show what are the geopolitical, socioeconomic factors that would inform the rise and fall of the risks associated with those for investors? We need to continue to get this predictive model better. And I think we were looking at a lot of the factors that we know contribute to gender-based violence or reduce it. And how can we tie those factors to the predictive models that are used within investments? The models that say, where do we see opportunity and risk on a sort of global scale? So what does it look like to continue to build out a predictive model that we continue to take in different data? In the midst of all of this, what matters to many investors is what's it going to transform gender-based violence from being a chronic risk, the soup we're all swimming in, doesn't allow you to differentiate because it's everywhere, it's ubiquitous. While ubiquitous or subsystemic risks are compelling, they also don't allow you to make choices very easily. You can think about who's moving away from them or who's moving towards them, but they're chronic. And so what you're really looking for is what is going to turn a chronic risk into an acute risk. And the answer we've come back to time and time and time again is that shifts in norms is what's going to transform gender-based violence from a chronic risk, the costs of which are astronomical, astronomical costs. But they're costs in some ways we've already incurred. They're costs that affect everybody. And so what's going to turn those kind of ubiquitous costs into something acute that would affect the performance of my investments? And I actually think this is a bigger idea. Changes in AI make it possible for us to be able to track social norms, to be able to see the changes, to be able to predict the changes. As I keep ranting on about, to see, is this moment a backlash or actually a fundamental shift in how, you know, in the United States, is this a backlash or is it a fundamental shift in, you know, towards misogyny, towards racism? Did we not see that change happening, or was the progress being made in those areas threatening and therefore we're in a backlash? That's about social norms. It's about not just looking at a couple media highlights or what's happening in the manosphere, but looking more deeply at what are actually the fundamental shifts in social norms, because they do change. Investors have never had the ability to tie those shifts in social norms with their investments. So how can we build a way that takes the data that we have about social norms and hopefully invests in better data? Because people who work on gender equity, people who work on gender-based violence know that in the end, what eradicates gender-based violence is a change in social norms. That gender-based violence is no longer tolerated, that misogynist ideas take a backseat. Because it is that level of, it is social norms that propagate gender-based violence, that excuse it or at its worst, celebrate it. And so how do we see the changes that we saw in Me Too and a few other moments we've seen in moments across the globe spark up where suddenly it was no longer tolerated? How can we track that as investors? And then finally, how do we find companies that we can invest in? We did a study years ago to sort of pull out 50 or so companies that we thought were intentionally making a difference on gender-based violence. But that's part of what we need. It's not just looking at the risks, although honestly, looking at risks tied to gender-based violence is one of the bigger things here, right? Gender-based violence is a risk to investors, just like climate change. But there are also companies who are making a difference, who are intentionally shifting their policies and practices, who are engaging in supply chains in ways that reduce the risk of exploitation, and people who are mitigating the results, the impact of gender-based violence in the lives of people. All of these are places where we can be putting our capital. And so what is the infrastructure? This has been such a basic part of impact investing over the years, to say, where can I put my capital? Where can I invest now? Who are the people making a difference? So how can we build the infrastructure that can source and screen private investment opportunities that have an intentional impact on gender-based violence? And so what's in each of these ideas is, as we continue to enable asset owners and managers who are working with investment capital to take a look more seriously at the data, the known solutions to ending gender-based violence that come from the movement that's been working to end gender-based violence for so long. As we work to have those two collide, there need to be some structures in place where they can hang their hats, where they can settle in, put their data, because it can't just be a one-off interaction. Systems change is not just about individual actions. So in the end, to come back to Donella Meadows, and this is number 4 on her, you know, it's in the top 5 of how do you create system change. The power to change, evolve, and self-organize a system structure, to build the infrastructure that enables this to happen. And not alone. Criterion's never going to become, you know, the infrastructure ourselves. We're a think tank. But we have some partners coming to the table who have some remarkable infrastructure that we can build these ideas on top of so that it becomes possible, it becomes doable in our world to say, I want my investments to address gender-based violence. And that has been about the insights. It's about imagining what we can do, about seeing our investments differently, about the power of asset owners to ask for more, the extraordinary capability of investment managers to build new things, and the base of data and programming that has come out of the work of organizations working on gender-based violence. But we need to keep knitting that together into a more stable structure. We've watched recently the infrastructure of funding around gender-based violence, the funding for feminist movements fall apart. How easy that seemed to be as it all collapsed. But in that, in the wake of that, we need to keep building. We need to build systems that disrupt systems of power, introduce in new possibilities so that we can create the change that we want.
Gender-based violence changes how people move through the world and limits their ability to thrive. It is woven into the fabric of economies, influencing productivity and driving up systemic costs. Yet it remains one of the least recognized and addressed material risks in global finance. In February 2026, Criterion Institute will convene investors, social change leaders, and policymakers to co-create actionable strategies for addressing gender-based violence. Join us to imagine what's possible and develop pathways to act on it. Register today at criterioninstitute.org/convergence.
To learn more about our work, visit us at criterioninstitute.org. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Your reviews help our podcast reach a wider audience. Thanks for listening.